Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Tyler Cupp, broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road with Straight Talk.
Selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
There we are. Straight Talk, broadcast live from Substation 2. Good afternoon, everybody. Chair Road across from Winthrop, brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Here with us today is Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Also with us today, Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road and Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And by Piedmont Medical Network, a community built on care, PiedmontMedicalNetwork.com. Well, some of these outlets no longer work, so that's great. But here we are. We're Straight Talk. Tyler Cupp filling in for Manning Kimmel, and we have a familiar face, not just to the WRHI airwaves, but really this week. Saw her on Powin' the Mornings this Monday, and she had a big day today. Big morning, I should say, ribbon cutting and expanded services. She is Carrie McGuire, the executive director of the rebranded Keystone Behavioral Health. Carrie,
hello.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. So good to be here with you.
Well, let's first talk about the ribbon cutting. You had a great turnout. Why were so many people turned out to see a rebranding of Keystone? Tell us about the rebranding.
So the rebranding has been a very exciting transition for us. It's been probably about 6 months in the works and a lot of behind-the-scenes work to get us to the point where we arrive today. The York County Regional Chamber is a fantastic partner of ours, and they promoted us through the ribbon cutting, but we had a tremendous turnout of community supporters and those who were interested in what we're doing, law enforcement, school districts, healthcare, the whole shebang. They were there. Past employees came out. It was really neat to see people out there, and of course, plenty of our current employees were there. But we really are there because we share a vision, and it's a vision for York County and the Rock Hill community, and making sure that our services are available. We've traditionally always been substance use disorder treatment, prevention, intervention, and recovery services. But now we're, like you said, expanding. And the goal of that is to provide mental health and counseling services to help fill that gap of providers in the community to be able to serve the community and make sure everyone has the support that they need to thrive.
And for those that did not hear back on Monday, I'm sure there are many being different audiences, different times of the day. Behavioral health, when you talk about mental health, when you use that term behavioral health, there's so many things that fall under that, and it seems to be of strong importance. I think I mentioned it very briefly. I don't even remember if it was on the air or off the air, but it feels like it's been heightened since the pandemic.
Yes.
And it feels like a lot of organizations, agencies like yourself has done something similar to what you guys are doing because there's a need.
That's right. So in terms of the Act 301 agencies, which is what we are across the state, there are 30 of us who are designated as county authorities for substance abuse and addressing those needs within the communities. Over half of us have made a similar step, and you know, we're not at the end of it, but we're sort of in the middle as far as Keystone making that rebrand and shifting. And the focus is on that right now because the pandemic did heighten mental health awareness of mental health concerns and needs, but also because we've had sort of this restructuring reorganization at the state level that has created an Office of Behavioral Health and Developmental Disabilities. That department is the umbrella organization, the umbrella department that is over the Office of Mental Health, our services, which fall under the Office of Substance Use Services, as well as Developmental Disabilities. And so we want to make sure that we are meeting those needs, that we have a very diverse population with varied levels of ability and needs for substance use disorder treatment, but also the mental health. We have needs related to those who are experiencing autism, those who have ADHD and those neurodivergencies and that sort of thing. So our goal is to continue to grow and expand and be able to be effective in meeting the needs of a diverse population.
One thing I don't believe I asked you on Monday morning that I'm very curious as you got into, you know, autism and spectrum and these other things, you know, obviously going from Keystone Substance Abuse Services to Keystone Behavioral Health, that's what we're talking about here today with Carrie McGuire, the executive director. Do you have to find more people, new people, you know, get people that you currently have maybe get certified in other areas? Kind of take me through that.
So it's sort of a multifaceted approach. So on the prevention end of things, that prevention education, we have a fantastic team of prevention specialists who are out in our schools, out in the community. So they have spent the summer anticipating the rebrand and getting ready for what the new school year would bring and what the fall would have in front of us, being more equipped to talk about those mental health things. And so any topics related to mental health, they are in the process and have already started learning so that they can be effective. We do classroom-based education as well in middle schools throughout York County. And so there are facets of that they're adding topics related to mental health to it. Because substance use and mental health do go so hand in hand, which we did talk about that a little bit on Monday.
Yeah.
So recognizing that there's a co-occurrence oftentimes, many times among our youth as well, we wanted to make sure we're responsive to that. So that's a starting point. But in terms of staffing, we've actually designated two full-time therapist positions as mental health clinicians. And so we have our team of people who are incredible at offering addictions counseling, and they are certified in that area. And now we're seeking people to take on these two positions, and they need to be licensed in the mental health profession with experience with diagnosing mental health disorders and addressing that through counseling.
When you talk about expanding services, you're talking about expanding your staff. How does that work with state, federal funding, getting assistance to hire more people that you did not have years prior? How does that work?
So I would say that we've had to be incredibly strategic as an organization, which we try to be anyway, but it really is taking extra effort and thought and strategy to make sure that we are able to be consistent and resilient moving forward. We get state and federal funding specifically for the substance abuse side of things. One of the things that's really important to know about that is that we are required to provide, and we will not turn down someone for services based on their ability to pay. So some of our funding on the substance use disorder treatment side is to cover the expense of people's treatment if they can't pay for it themselves, they don't have insurance, or they're indigent. And so we're there as a resource for all components, everybody in the community to receive services. With this expansion of mental health services, we're not getting funding directed specifically from the state or the federal government for that need, like we are with the substance use side of things. So we are seeking grant funding. We have a phenomenal grants administrator who writes grants for us regularly, and we will continue to do that with private grants and trying to make sure we have the support. But honestly, what we did is we repurposed two existing positions to be in this role so that we could expand. And we've streamlined some of our services to make the remaining positions a little bit more streamlined in that way.
Even though you answer that, isn't there something with agencies similar to you guys and really agencies in general where you can have grants that might last for a year or maybe even longer than that for positions?
Like
a grant would fund a position, is that correct?
It would.
Yeah.
And it depends on the nature of the grant, the grant or, the organization that's administering that grant to us and letting us use those funds. They always have parameters, very specific, and what you can and can't use it for. And we try to write our grant applications in such a way that we identify the things of the most need that our operational budget maybe can't support until we can make it more sustainable. So as we're launching new programs, that's very common for us to get funding sort of as seed money to get it going. And then we create sustainability through billable services through Medicaid, and we get revenue that way that isn't really like we're making a profit off of it. It's just enough to keep the lights on and sustain services.
From your perspective here in the Rock Hill area, York County, before this rebrand happened, before you started talking about this, did you see the need yourself? And as an agency, would you guys have people come to you and ask about these services, but at the time maybe you weren't able to help them fully? You're able to maybe send them somewhere else, or maybe you found a way to get them some help. What is the need like, or I guess the demand, I should say, properly in this area?
Yep, the demand is great. And yes, we do have people who sometimes call or walk in, and our front office team is phenomenal Isabella about being able to know what those resources are and help get them connected. If we're not the place that they need to be, making sure that they have a landing spot somewhere else so they can receive that service. We have individuals in our care who are receiving services for substance use disorders who have what we call co-occurring disorders. So that's where you have substance use disorder diagnosis, but also a mental health diagnosis of some sort. That could be anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder, those sorts of things that really they're not severe mental illness, but we can tell that substance use is affecting it or vice versa. And so we really try to treat all of that, and we do have a co-occurring disorders program that is specific that for that unique population. We've been doing that for a number of years, so that part's not new, but we're continuing to train our staff that currently are on site with us to be able to recognize mental health needs and respond well to them, whether to get them into that co-occurring disorders program or to refer them to what will be our counseling department at Keystone. But previously, yes, lots of folks reaching out needing that service, and we provide what we can, and then we refer for the rest to make sure that all of their needs are met, because we want to address all of the holistic needs of each individual.
Talking to Carrie McGuire, Executive Director of Keystone Behavioral Health. They just rebranded. Of course, you've known the Keystone name for many, many years. I have to ask this, and I swear it's not a shameless plug.
Okay.
But you guys have helped us for years with our Prom Pledge program, and Allison Curiot has been wonderful helping us and speaking in front of the students for a couple minutes with our other speakers that we take across York, Lancaster, and Chester counties. And, you know, she's talking about different things when it comes to substances. But I guess now there would be some sort of initiative that has to crank up with this rebranding about getting into the schools and talking about mental health, right? Is that right. Kind of, am I on the right track there?
You are.
Is kind of starting that up now?
It is. And it's more incorporating mental health topics into the things that we're already doing. So if we're at a back to school bash, for example, in a school district, and we've got a table set up, you're not just going to see brochures and information related to substances. You're going to see brochures related to some common things that are affecting our youth, like those anxiety disorders, depression, and that sort of thing. So that's more what it is. And what we're working towards is making sure our prevention team is comfortable talking about those topics and knowing how to get a person from that conversation to a next point of contact, whether it's with Keystone, the Office of Mental Health, or wherever they need to go for support. When it comes to things like Prom Pledge, we've already seen topics coming up that are beyond, it used to really always be don't use substances on prom night,
yeah,
make safe choices, but now we see topics like distracted driving. Brandon Guffey has come out
sextortion.
And done the sextortion, yeah, topic. So we really are seeing a lot of different things coming up in there, and I believe that that program will lend itself well to other topics like this kind of being folded into what we're already talking about.
You know, with Keystone having this rebrand behavioral health, obviously you've always done the substance abuse services and will continue to do that. What is your personal goals in this first year with the behavioral health services that you offer? Maybe some of the things internally and some of the things that you can offer and market to the community that,
yes,
you guys and letting people know that you have this. What are some of your goals for that?
So our plan is to start off with individual services, so just one-on-one with individuals. But ultimately, we know that there are going to be some topics that come up that are kind of consistent within the counseling area, things like loss and grief, anger management, parenting needs. And our hope is that by the end of this next fiscal year, which we just started in July, and it's been a whirlwind fiscal year so far for us, but it ends in June, and I would love to see us have offered at least one group therapy opportunity where we've got a bunch of people who need one specific topic discussed and addressing a specific need. And we do that in a group counseling setting instead of always one-on-one, because I think people thrive in that community of group therapy. So that would be a goal. Internally, I will say it's the training part and making sure that our existing staff who maybe haven't worked specifically with mental health feel comfortable in that realm and continuing to grow. And we have varying levels of comfort. I mean, we have licensed professional counselors and licensed social workers already on our staff, but we have others who are a little bit newer to the field. And so we want to make sure that everyone's equally prepared to help talk about those topics.
Yeah, and this may sound super easy to put out and maybe not even worth mentioning, but I think it is. when you talk about collaboration and you talk about having partnerships, you know, you guys and all of our agencies in our area, Hazel Pittman down in Chester, Counseling Services mm-hmm. Lancaster. I mentioned the Alpha Center because I know yes. Mara Horton Jones down there in Kershaw County. You know, all of these agencies are doing something very similar to you guys. How often are you... You all seem to have a good relationship, but how often are you communicating? Like, okay, how are you guys doing this? Maybe we can add to that. Is there a level of this before yes. you guys rebranded?
Yes. So we statewide, our professional organization is the Behavioral Health Services Association of South Carolina.
Which that was a big deal, right? Like yes. when they kind of made it like a, it sounds like a negative connotation, but I promise it's not. I've heard other agency directors say this.
Mention it, yeah.
Kind of like a one-stop shop.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that is our professional organization. If you're interested in learning more about that, they're communitiesforrecovery.org, and that four is a number four, communitiesforrecovery.org. And you can really just kind of see what that's all about. But that being said, we have a statewide representation. Every Act 301 agency in the state is represented by their director in that group. And so we get together annually for strategic planning. That in and of itself is a nonprofit organization. They are not a source of funding for us, but they are an advocacy arm for these agencies statewide, among plenty of other things. So, yes, we sit around the table regularly. We have monthly membership meetings. Then we have committees and things that are acting in the best interest of the organization. Like, for example, the performance committee is the one that I chair statewide, and we're looking at how do we tell our story of the impact of these agencies and organizations across the state. We just published our very first annual report at the conclusion of fiscal year 25, and we're working on our fiscal year 26 annual report, and it just captures what these organizations are doing and the impact that we have. When it was time for me to start asking questions about Keystone expanding, that was in the context of a much broader conversation about what is our strategy moving forward to make sure our organizations are resilient and persist within our communities because what we provide is so needed. So yes, that's a huge part, and you've mentioned most of the agencies within our region, mm-hmm. you mentioned Counseling Services of Lancaster and Hazel Pittman Center, Alpha Center. We also have Fairfield County in our region.
Okay.
And Lexington and Richland. RADAC is the other organization.
Yeah. That's so, the one off of, I guess that's as you're going into downtown,
yep,
I guess.
It's on Colonial Drive right off of Bull Street.
Bull Street. There you go.
And we meet regionally, as do the other regions across the state, mm-hmm. regularly as directors. So I know those directors quite well, and we collaborate. I mean, it's nothing for me to send an email and say, hey, we need to generate a report about this. Has anybody ever done that before? Okay, can you show me a sample? You know, that type of thing. There's a lot of collaboration.
It sounds so simple, but I feel like it is so beneficial that you guys are all doing the good work in your separate respective communities and can bounce ideas off each other, and there's no shame in copying what one is doing and figuring out how to best serve your community.
That's right. And recognizing that some agencies are in communities that are more equipped to fund and help address the need. Mm. And some of the agencies that I just listed are in very small communities. Like you talk about Alpha Center.
Yeah.
One of their counties is Lee County. It's mm-hmm. T90. And then you've got Fairfield County, which is small as well.
It's small, but it's spread out. But
it's
where the population is, it's very small. Yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
But how do we partner together to help them impact their community with resources that we can share? So that's a lot of the effort that goes into that.
Very good. All right, time now for our mid-program break. We're talking with Carrie McGuire of Keystone Behavioral Health. I want to tell you that Straight Talk is broadcast live from Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop, brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Here at Substation 2, they make fresh subs and salads, but they do it magically. And they do it on the count of three. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Not bad. Back with more.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
The food, the number 19 is the best.
When I want lunch, I come to Substation 2 because I can't remember never not coming here.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
Gas prices might be high, but your auto loan rate doesn't have to be. Beat your current auto loan rate by 2% when you refinance with Founders Federal Credit Union. Plus, no payments for up to 90 days. That's right, a great rate and no payments for up to 90 days. Stop by an office or apply on Founders app today. To learn more, visit foundersfcu.com/auto. For additional cost and information, call us toll-free 800-845-1614. Membership qualification required. Terms and conditions apply.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
The hot meatball subs with jalapenos.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Straight Talk, broadcast live from here at Cherry Road across from Winthrop, brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Also with us today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Tyler Cupp here with the Executive Director of Keystone Behavioral Health, Carrie McGuire. Now you're thinking, wait a minute, I know Keystone, but Behavioral Health, yes, they rebranded. They were Keystone Substance Abuse Services. New website just released right before we came on the
That's
air.
Right.
You were excited to hear that. I actually saw it right before
yes.
we came in. You were waiting on it.
Yep.
And it is out. Beautiful, bright colors. Got the purple ingrained in there, that light green. So check that out on the website. But it is Keystone Behavioral Health. They had their ribbon cutting to announce it. You guys actually announced the rebranding. I guess it would have been 2 weeks ago, maybe. We had it on the news. You guys put out a little press release there and talked about it and promoted the ribbon cutting. Had a great turnout this morning from a lot of community members. You can go see pictures on our Facebook page in the York County Regional Chamber of Commerce. I saw President and CEO of the Chamber, Dean Fail, gave a nice
That's
speech.
Right.
Now, who was the other person that spoke?
So, Dean Fail introduced the event, and then our board chair, Alexis Ellis, said
okay.
a few words and then turned it over to me. And then after that, when they did the sort of this... the big certificate that they hand us, that was Janine, who is an ambassador.
I was watching the Facebook Live by City Council Member Nikita Jackson.
Oh, very fun.
I was okay. watching on the Facebook Live feed, so
it's
there
fantastic.
You go. So a couple of things when you talk about Keystone that I wanted to get your perspective on, and also you have an event to promote that falls in line with one of these topics. Today is actually a unique day in your industry,
yes.
and that is National Fentanyl Prevention and Awareness Day.
Correct.
So tell me about this day and what you guys have coming up.
Yep. So fentanyl is something that we've heard over and over again in the last several years as a true threat to public health. Fentanyl is a synthetic opioid that is often put into pressed pills in individuals. Because it is so potent, we've seen a lot of overdoses with that, overdose deaths as a result of fentanyl. So there is that awareness day as a result of that. Now, in a couple of weeks, we have International Overdose Awareness Day, which is any kind of overdose due to substances, not just opioids and fentanyl specifically. August 29th, Keystone is hosting an event that evening. It's a candlelight vigil. We've done it the last couple of years. It'll be downtown at Fountain Park. And we will hopefully have a great turnout just to kind of give the community an opportunity to acknowledge those lost, to recognize the pain of that loss, but also to celebrate the lives that those individuals had before that unfortunate occurrence. So it's just a great day to remember and come around one another as a community on that special day. So that's the evening of August 29th.
Okay, thank you. August 29th, that's next Saturday.
Yes.
Right? Yes, okay. Now, we had this story a couple weeks ago, and we had different folks kind of speak on it, but I wanted your perspective on this. I kind of circled this when I saw you were going to be on either Palmetto Mornings or Straight Talk and wanted to ask your opinion on it. There was a story that got released, I think, about a month or so ago, overdoses decreasing across the state. I wasn't sure if it was nationwide, but I know it's the state of South Carolina. Can you speak to that and what you're seeing of the why and maybe the things you guys collectively across the state are either doing better or what you're seeing that's working, I guess?
Yes, that's a great question. So I'm getting my thoughts in order because there are so many aspects to that, to the answer.
Sure.
So yes, we are seeing a decrease. York County has gone from, I'm trying to think back, 2023, we had like 118 overdose deaths. And then in the following year, I think we counted 84 overdose deaths from the coroner's office. And we're continuing to see a decline in those overdose deaths. That doesn't mean overdoses aren't happening. They're just not fatal every time. And the big reason for that is naloxone. That's Narcan. All of our law enforcement, first responders, the hospital system, we hand it out. We're a community distributor. And that is an opioid overdose reversal agent. And it's typically out in the field administered as a nasal spray. And it reverses the effects of an overdose, and it helps to save lives. And so I think that's the biggest thing that we can attribute with regard to that decrease in overdose deaths in particular. We do have a system within our state. Now, it's actually nationally, but it's called ODMAP, and organizations like ours track overdoses. So we are watching the community at all times, and we get things like spike alerts. So if there's a concentration of overdoses in one area of York County, a certain number within a certain time frame, we get an alert. We get an alert every single time there's an overdose. But we also get alerts if there's a cluster of them in one area, so we can try to get out and understand, was there a bad batch of something in that community that people need to be made aware of? What else can we do? We need to make sure people have Narcan. You have a question. I can see
you
it on your face.
You have piqued my interest
here.
Yeah. So how is that app telling you these things? Is it connected to, like, police reports or news reports? How does that work?
Yep. So first responders, the coroner's office. So lots of different agencies have access to it, and they're inputting information. So it could be an EMS service that's inputting it. It could be the coroner's office. It could be the hospital. The law enforcement, they all have access to input data into that.
So when a report happens, you get it, or does it do like a collective every week or month or something?
In the moment.
Wow.
It's an email. And I know the coroner's office gets alerts and spike alerts. We get them at Keystone. There may be other agencies that are set up on the spike alerts, but I can tell you that every time there's an overdose in our community, I get an email about
it. Well, and I guess, I mean, obviously you should because of the industry that you're in. But you know that you may be getting a call soon or to help a family, to help someone cope or something. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like just giving you a heads up that there could be a case that you guys could help.
Yes. And there are some things that we've done to try to address the needs out in the field. So, for example, last year we did get a grant and we purchased a thing called LAMI. And it's what we call a toolkit. And it's a little story with this cute little, it says LAMI, but it's actually a bunny, which I know is different than you would expect.
Okay.
But it's a little bunny, and it's a plush keychain, but they're also big plush animals, stuffed animals, and a book in English and in Spanish. And every school, elementary school in York County has been equipped with that in their guidance office, because it talks about if a young person has an incident in their home related to substances, or maybe a parent or family member who is under the influence a lot, or maybe they've been arrested, or maybe they had an overdose event. And we have equipped law enforcement, EMS, and others in coroner's office to have the little pocket-sized ones with them. So if they go into a home in a situation and there is a young person there that needs some comfort and some engagement, it's something that they can put in their hands. And if they're not of the age to read the story, there's a QR code that they can scan with a device, and it will automatically read it to them on YouTube.
Whoa.
So it's just a tool. It's things like that. Those partnerships are so very important, because we have resources we can put towards that, but we're not the ones going into homes with EMS. That's not us, right? So trying to be available in that way. And then resource bags for EMS to hand out. Hey, if you've had an overdose and you're not interested in riding the ambulance to the hospital today, here's some information about Keystone. Here's how you can access their services, and just making sure we're doing that.
Well, 30 minutes flies by. Carrie, thank you so much. She is the executive director of Keystone Behavioral Health, just rebranded today. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Looked like it was a great turnout, and looking forward to hearing more about the services you guys offer. Thank you for what you do. in our community. She is Carrie McGuire of Keystone Behavioral Health. Tell you the Straight Talk broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Here at Substation 2, they make fresh subs and salads 6 days a week. But how do they do it? One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Manning will be back on Monday. Bye.